ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shay's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Welcome to another edition of BJ Shay's Geek Nation! I'm Vicky Barcelona, no Reverend Fuego, he is on assignment, but across from me is the show's namesake, BJ Shay.
Three shows in a row, it's a record.
I know. We need, like, how do we get Peepaw in here? Anywho, also running the board, we have Joey Deeds.
I'm here to nerd rage.
Please don't nerd rage.
I'm raging. Not really raging.
Actually, we got some cool stuff going on today. We're going to talk about a new video game that's going to be turned into a TV series. So watch out, Witcher, I guess.
Oh, nice.
We got some the top superheroes and supervillains, as well as some comic reviews from BJ and maybe some that more that we talk about on occasion.
I like that more.
How can you get a hold of us? Well, go to BJ Shay's Geek Nation to find our blogs, podcast, and more. Or just search BJ Shay's Geek Nation. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, radio.com, and iTunes.
Yeah.
Easy peasy. Just BJ Shay. You'll
Mac
find it.
And cheesy.
Yummy. But have you guys actually seen The Witcher by chance?
Toss a coin to your Witcher.
I don't know the franchise, don't know the book, don't know the game, and everybody has said you're going to be confused as all hell if you try to watch this just by a human, and I get frustrated thinking that I don't know why they had to do a show like that where everybody's got to tell you right off the bat, listen, if you watch the show, let me explain what's going on because you're going to be confused. I'm like, well, why? And more people said that.
Right.
This is why I have not watched The Witcher yet. I'm like, you know what? I got other shows. I'm sorry, but this is like a barrier of entry for me, which maybe is okay.
Well, give it some time. I'm sure somebody's going to do a like special edit cut on the internet that you can watch eventually.
Yeah, you're right. That's the good part of the internet.
Right. But I was actually thinking about it. Apparently, The Last of Us, you guys know that video game?
No.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like a weird
Post-apocalyptic.
You can do it.
Survival horror game.
Have you played this?
I have.
So apparently, like, the second one of this won some awards. Like, it's a really good franchise. And I think it's voiced the two main characters, Gerard Butler and Ellen Page.
Oh, wow. In the video game?
Mm-hmm.
That's some good people.
But apparently, a TV series is coming to HBO.
I wonder if it'll be Gerard Butler and Ellen Page. It should be.
I think Ellen Page might be too old because the main character, she looks pretty young, like a teenage girl.
Oh, yeah. Ellen Page is now.
She's my age.
Yeah.
Not Ellen a teenage Page, girl.
Yeah. She's, late 20s is still. You know what? John Travolta played a high school student back in Welcome Back, Kotter, and he was 28 years old.
But you didn't have the 4D HD TV, you know, with satellite and I don't know what
All
else
right,
the fanciness.
Fine. I guess we'll get somebody else then. I like Ellen Page. I'll watch her in any show anyway, so I don't care. She could play a grandmother. I don't care.
But apparently, like there's not. If you think about it, there's not a lot of TV shows based on video games. There's a lot of movies, but not a lot of TV shows. Did I say that right? Yes.
Yeah.
You guys think about that?
I see what you're thinking about. I don't know if there are. I mean, ever since, I feel like Doom was the first movie I remember I watched that was directly from a video game. Of course, Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know of TV shows.
I did find a list of the best TV shows based on video games. We'll get to that in a sec. For those who don't know what The Last of Us is, it's basically the United States is brought to its knees by a mutated fungus.
Mm.
So, and this is going to be like a very heartbreaking. Here it hits the heartstrings real bad. How would you describe it, Joe?
Scary.
Is it kind of like The Walking Dead mushroom style?
Yeah, think of the Will Smith movie.
I Am Legend?
Yes, I Am Legend. Oh, very similar to that.
Everybody dead. It's not like the dead's coming back. They dead. And
they're all just like weird looking. Is that the one with like the witch and the weird looking monsters? Or is that a different one?
They kind of like, they can hear you. There's a bunch of different ones.
So there's some mutation-y things going on?
This is zombies. That's the easiest way to
think about. Oh, it's zombies? Okay, yeah. So it's mushroom zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's, without necessarily giving it away, how would you describe the interaction between Joel and Ellie? Because that's her father, correct?
I believe so.
Or at least a father figure.
Yeah. So the idea is you're trying to stay alive and like gather resources,
Makes
among
sense.
Other things. I don't want to spoil anything too much. But yeah, and so you're kind of going back and forth with this character that you need to protect or you need to, you know, because I think you can switch between characters. I think that's the second one. But anyways, yeah. So you're on this journey and everywhere you go, something's hunting you and you kind of have to survive the whole time. I would say that as a show, I don't know.
Well, I think
that's like very Walking Dead-like, like you said, but I don't know what they're going to really do for 10 episodes.
Well, like the game, according to this, it says it follows them as they embark across America, basically. So is there any end point or where like, hey, we're trying to reach this point because we're going to find, you know, my mom, or are they just literally just trying to stay alive and there's no end game?
You know, I can't remember if there's a specific end point. I mean, I guess, but the thing about it is with these kind of shows is the payoff, like this is the big problem with The Walking Dead, the payoff's not really there because everything's already destroyed, right? So what you're surviving isn't really like a fun payoff.
I don't know if I can talk to my son anymore. I have to I want to talk to him in 20 years because I feel like, you know, from where you live in your life, I get what you're saying because a video, if you just do a, if you do a show about a video game, you're right. Where is the payoff? The Walking Dead, the reason that show is so brilliant is that the zombies are not the, they're not the antagonist of the show. It's a lost leader. The Walking Dead really is not a show about zombies.
No, I know. I mean, I'm saying like at the end, like when you're like, all right, the show is going to come to an end and have its season finale or whatever. I'm saying the ending payoff of those shows usually isn't that good because there is no really happy ending to your point, right? Like that's
the
idea.
Oh, I see what you mean. I thought because I wonder how they can do any video game movies, really, because of the fact, I mean, because really the game is against you. And that's not something that's interesting on a TV show, the game against you. The zombies or whatever the creatures are, yeah, that's exciting in a video game. But in a TV show, what's exciting is really the Batman Joker situation. It's basically like humans are the evil people in The Walking Dead. And The Walking Dead title is actually The Walking Dead are the people still alive, not the zombies. That's who The Walking Dead really are. And I don't know how other shows are going to recreate that because I've watched other shows like Falling Skies. And frankly, it fell short because they never made human versus human the real issue the way The Walking Dead does. The zombies just are a problem to get in the way while other humans are trying to kill other humans anyway.
And in this article that I'm reading by Cinema Blend, where it's like things that you need to know, one of the things they point out is that the game developer, Naughty Dog, is known for storytelling. When it comes to their games, they're really good at putting in really good stories. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see. I think we're going to be getting more video game TV series in like the near future, because video game movies, I feel like it's because video games take a long time to beat. You can't have it necessarily in a movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if they do it like maybe like the first three seasons of Walking Dead, where it's kind of like they're trapped, they don't know what to do, they need to get resources, they come together as a group, the group betrays each other for whatever reasons, and then the third season has an arc where there's some redemption or something. But again, like to the point, like when the world's already destroyed. Same thing with I Am Legend, right? The end of that show was kind of like, well, I mean, we already know everyone's dead, right? Yeah, so it's kind of hard
like
to wrap
no
it up.
There's no hope to like escape and cure everything.
Well, The Walking Dead was never a video game at first anyway. Yeah. So it was a storyline. And the main characters that the people everybody wanted to see, they were humans anyway. So it's a tough comparison as far as, you know, the creative process. With a video game, I look at it like, and you remember StarCraft, Joe, there was a great lore of that game. Kerrigan was one of the big characters that, you know, was a human that turned into a Zerg. And you wonder, like, could they ever take that and make that into a good series? Or was it just a really cool game and really there's not enough there to make a story? Or even like Doom, where they had to make that rock movie and it was just, God, you made a story out of something that really didn't have a story.
Yeah, most... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, most stories in general follow some arc that's very similar. They're, you know, they're all very similar stories, you know. For instance, the hero's journey, blah, 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 anything like that. For instance, like we talked about in Altered Carbon a couple episodes ago, it's like a warrior from a past or future, right? All stories follow similar arcs, right? It's just how you present the story, right? So, for instance, the StarCraft one, would it make a good TV show? Well, maybe. I mean, it could be a love story, right? And maybe that's how they decide to take it.
Exactly.
It could be a war story where instead it's more about the generals. You know, it's difficult to say what's going to be good or not. These ones in particular, though, that make them different, these post-apocalyptic ones, it's just there doesn't ever any of that hope, right? Because you want to bring that sway of hope and sorrow back and forth, right? But if you already know at the end that they're all dead, you have to really drive your storyline to tell a good life and death story.
Sort of like Rogue One.
Yeah,
exactly. Because we knew what the hell was going to happen to everybody in Rogue One.
And I hate stories like that because I already know the ending, right? But to your point, right, Rogue One was arguably the best Star Wars movie because of how they told the story. It was so good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I'm hoping, for instance, when they talk about The Last of Us, that it is good like that. But to Vicky's point, if you were to ask me, well, how would you write the ending? I'd be like, I mean... a happy ending? I don't know.
That's a really good. I would say the same thing about Solo. I thought that they did a great job with Solo. We know how that was going to end too, and they still, even though people panned that movie, and I don't know why, it was really a good movie. And but you again, when you know what's going to happen, and like you said, you guys, not that I even know the game, but it sounds like this game is not going to give you the everybody's going to be smiling. It's tough when you know how it's going to end. And can they still do a captivating story about it?
Which they could, so we'll see.
I mean, we recently, like in a recent episode, we talked about the show Glitch and how it ended, and it kind of had that same thing where it's like, okay, you knew it was leading up to this. It's like, I'm hoping they find a way to kind of not have that a sad ending, and they had to do it, and it made sense for the story, but...
Sometimes that's what you're going
to
get.
You have to.
Just like the ending of The Sopranos, everybody was really upset. The open-ended ending where... Well, I mean, you know, it easily could have been a very, very sad ending. But you know, as you watch the show like that, you go, well, where could this go? It's a post-apocalyptic world. What are the chances that, you know, just like at the end of The Walking Dead, I don't know what they're going to be able to do, but I don't have a lot of hope for this world. I really don't.
But like I was saying earlier, there's not a whole lot of video game TV shows. But I did find a list, and most of them are animes that I've never even heard of.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. What do we got?
Well, do you want me to start with number 10 or number 1?
I would say 10. Let's lead up to the one because we have a better chance of knowing number 1.
Well, actually, no, I've never heard of it.
Okay, never mind.
Castlevania one is one that we know because it's always on Netflix advertised. Have you seen any?
That's exactly the reason I know about it. It's because it's on, it literally
oh, that's a video game?
Netflix, I guess. On my Netflix, yep.
Oh, okay.
Time. Apparently the game happened way back in 1986.
Yeah.
It's like a gothic survival action horror game.
Yeah, it's old school.
But
I remember that.
So this list, mind you, came out last year. So this was before Witcher.
Okay.
So Witcher's not in this. But everyone's obsessed with Castlevania. All my anime friends on Facebook, that's all they talked about when the new season was going to come out. Like, oh my God, it's coming. It's here. It is so great.
Is it animation?
It's animation. It's kind of, it's like a newer age anime, I guess you could say.
It's Netflix original.
Anime, yeah.
I believe that's why.
Yes. Right. It doesn't look, it's not any cutesy stuff like you see in some animes.
And I never played the game. I never cared about it back in the day. Yeah. That wasn't my thing.
One game that I played a lot that is an awesome TV series. Pokemon.
Oh, that's right.
That's not a surprise. Yeah.
But Pokemon, the series, which came first? Was it the game, the cards? It was the game, then the cards?
Yep, the games came out in 96 and the show came out in 97.
Ah, when did the... the card game... Well, wait, the card game came out, what, 90... Which came first? The games you said when, 96?
96.
The card games may have come out in 95-ish. I mean, I don't know how many years after Magic the Gathering because Wizards had the contract. So I don't know when Pokemon the card game came out, but it's close.
Definitely Detective Pikachu made an awesome movie. This show has been around for over 20 years.
I'm not
surprised. Isn't that crazy?
It's still running. Okay. Well, all right. And that was after a game, you're saying, because the show came after.
After the video game, which was the Game Boy console games.
All righty.
Another one, Sonic the Hedgehog and Sonic Sat AM, which is like the old cartoon, like the one Saturday morning ones, I think.
Oh, Saturday AM, I get it.
And a lot of people liked Sat AM because it was apparently a more dark, dramatic storyline. But yeah, I loved watching Sonic as a kid, and a lot of their cartoons were pretty good, but I couldn't say enough on it because I don't remember a whole lot of it.
Yeah, and I didn't see him at all.
Number 7, Final Fantasy 14, Dad of Light.
That was a show?
Apparently it was a show after the game.
I mean, everybody knows Final Fantasy. I didn't know they had a TV show.
I had no idea either.
Wow. Do you know anything about... Did you play Final Fantasy, Joe?
Not a whole lot.
So apparently Final Fantasy 14 is an MMORPG.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And the characters are father and son. You know, they play together and all that. And the son decides to secretly reconnect with his father through buying his dad a console in Final Fantasy 14, except the father doesn't know he's actually playing with the son. So I think it's kind of... It's a show about the game, about people playing the game.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Okay.
Like a documentary almost.
Kind of. It's like, so, hey, it revolves around Final Fantasy 14, but he ends up connecting with his dad while playing.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
And it does have
interesting
that
concept.
Final Fantasy look to it, of course.
So maybe we're seeing the two of them interact with each other as the characters in the MMORPG, and that's that. Okay,
that's an interesting idea.
Alrighty,
one is called Air TV. It's a anime. I don't know. Sorry,
idea.
I don't know the game.
Another one called School Days.
Don't know that game.
Another anime, Fate/Stay Night.
That one I do know a little bit of.
Well, what do you know of it?
It's a show. I believe that's the one where characters from so warriors from the past, mm-hmm. so like Joan of Arc, or I can't remember the other ones they had, but they come back as warriors.
Genghis Kong,
yeah, and they fight. They have like essentially a bloodbath over a prize, if that makes sense.
Oh, it's like a sort of like a gladiator situation?
Yeah, it's like 7 or 8 or 9 of them come back
Finish
from the past.
Them.
They're servants for a main character, and then the main characters all fight. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why I remember it. Cool mobile game, I think, came out of it that someone was telling me about.
Yeah, that actually sounds like a really cool concept, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. All I remember is seeing some Joan of Arc character come back, and she was fighting. I'm like, that's kind of cool. Like, what characters would I have fight each other from years past?
Yeah.
I've always thought about doing something like that. I think after the whole, it's not Monster High, it was History High. There used to be this cartoon, I think on Cartoon Network, where they had all the characters from the past and they were all going to high school.
Oh.
So you had Joan of Arc with Cleopatra and she was the cool girl. You had Abraham Lincoln, he was kind of a dork. Like all these different people, like big name figures from the past. Gandhi, everyone. Which now if you think about it, might be a little weird.
Yeah, just a bit.
Clannad, which is like a romance story anime.
Don't know it.
This one, I kind of remember. Earthworm Jim.
Oh, yeah, that was the...
Looks like has a space ghost type body, and he literally has an earthworm head.
I was thinking Worms the video game with him, but I do remember seeing Earthworm Jim, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it was released in 1993, and it was a charmer for its satire of other platform video games. For example, there's a character called Princess What's-Her-Name, which is a parody of how so many games had the run-of-the-mill princess characters that always needed to be saved.
Yep.
And the animated show that came out based on the game was underrated, definitely deserves more attention for sticking to the game's absurdist and surreal humor.
Yeah, I don't know that one either.
And apparently the guy who did the voice of Homer Simpson, Dan Castellaneta.
Good job.
Yes. Did the voice of Earthworm Jim.
Well, now it all seems, I still don't know.
You know, I kind of want a TV show about Deadpool where it's like Ryan Reynolds in like a fat Deadpool costume. And all he does is walk around cities and like talk crap about like what's going on in real life. Like he's walking around being like, what the heck is this coronavirus? It's not going to kill me. You know, like that would be a great TV show.
Satire.
Yeah.
Last one is EF, A Fairy Tale of Two, another anime that I'm not too familiar with.
So is there any order to this?
That was number one.
That's like the number one mm-hmm. best show that was done after a video game,
right.
And it's anime. Well, there's something to this, obviously, that in the world of video gaming, if it has a sort of anime connection to it, it does seem to be that the folks that love anime and the companies that make these will say, hey, we know we're going to make a show because you love the game. You don't see that with a lot of other non-anime games, apparently.
Well, I was going to say, a lot of those games are based off of, like, comic books or
mangas
or anything like that.
Romance
so
novels.
Oh, so then, well, then, yeah. Oh, I see. I made the assumption that the game came first. I guess the game came first before the show, but there was something that inspired the game.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, that makes more sense to me.
Definitely. And if you guys know any of these mangas or any of the anime, because I'm not as super familiar with anime as I used to be, and we want to hear from you guys.
She's out of the loop.
I'm out of the loop.
She's a noob.
I don't remember. I was at anime club like 15 years ago. Holy crap, I'm old.
No.
Anywho, let's
Didn't
move
want to
on.
Bring that up in front of everybody.
I don't want to talk about this anymore. BJ, let's talk about something else. Have you been reading any comic books lately?
Well, yes, these aren't anime, but of course, these are the classics. You know, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, you know, my go-to. You know,
what's going on with Spidey?
Well, Spidey is currently a podcast guest of J. Jonah Jameson. You talk about, like, okay, today's society, really, papers, nobody cares anymore. But how would J. Jonah Jameson go about spreading the word about Spider-Man?
Is this kind of based off, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Spider-Man Far From Home yet, which, by the way, get on that if you haven't. At the very end, the bonus scene where we do see J. Jonah Jameson and he's like a talk show host. Is it kind of the same thing or is he
a
little
interesting.
Different?
It's interesting because he was on the radio doing a talk show on broadcast radio and now he's transitioned to podcasts.
So
this podcast is basically just about J. Jonah Jameson and Spider-Man and their volatile relationship. It's a very good issue because J. Jonah Jameson knows Peter Parker's identity now, and ever since he's known Pete's identity, he's wanted to team up and right the wrongs of the past. But in this issue, as they're having an interview, and Spidey doesn't want Jonah to help him because Jonah keeps messing everything up, even though Jonah at least has good intentions now, they go at each other about, you know, Jonah's like, look, I've owned all my crap in the years, but you didn't make it easy for anybody to like you, Spider-Man. And he starts bringing up a lot of Pete's foibles as to maybe why Pete wasn't the greatest hero.
And were they legitimate?
Yeah, they were legitimate. And in the midst of all that, you know, there's still people coming after Peter Parker and Spider-Man. And so, of course, there's going to be villains blowing up the podcast studio in the midst of them doing a podcast.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it was a good issue. Issue number 39 was the last one I read. The Fantastic Four, we just talked about, in a recent episode about rewriting canon. And boy, I have not heard a lot. I haven't read a lot of response to the Point of Origin story arc that's been done by Dan Slott, who for many, many years did great Spider-Man stuff, and now he's working on Fantastic Four, who recently came back. They had a hiatus, and they didn't have any issues. Well, Dan Slott rewrote the story. And Joey, we talked about this. If you all know the story of America's first family, Marvel's first family, they go off into space. Reed thinks he's got enough shielding on his ship to protect him from the cosmic rays. He doesn't, and the Fantastic Four is born, and Reed's guilt is born because, well, for the most part, they all look normal, but Ben is the Thing, a rocky-covered creature that can never be human again, for the most part. And he has guilt over this for his entire life, Reed does.
Yeah, all the characters get powers based off of their personality was the idea?
Was the idea how it evolved as it went on. Ben was a crabby guy. Back in the 60s, women were invisible, so here's the invisible girl, you know, in a world of men. Johnny was a hot-tempered, fiery-tempered kid, so he becomes a human torch. And Reed's ability to stretch because he was always trying to find ways to learn about stuff, and his mind was always stretching in different directions because he was so brilliant.
I always wondered how the stretching thing applied.
They recently in the Ultimates made it more of a, they have the abilities of the elements.
Okay.
Earth, water, fire, and somehow stretching is air. But anyway, that's kind of what they did.
Oh, we'll need some help on that one.
Yeah.
I'm picturing The Incredibles when Elastigirl kind of goes in and becomes a parachute.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing when you say air.
Well, and
he
was a parachute always a lot in that in the previous older issues of Fantastic Four. That's all been rewritten.
It's gone.
I mean, what happened to them. But as it turns out, Reed was correct in his calculations with the shielding, and he should have been able to, the ship should have been able to weather the cosmic rays. And apparently, Reed was trying to get to a planet, which I don't remember, to be honest with you. I thought, I don't know what they were doing, but they were going somewhere. Turns out the planet they were going to knew that the foretold, that was their prophecy, that the foretold were coming, and they were going to come with powers and wreck their whole world. So their great overseer needed to do something about this, and apparently we find out that the overseer weaponized cosmic radiation trying to kill them so they would never get to the planet, and he basically created the problem that their planet had in the first place, was that four people were going to come with superpowers. If he just left them alone, they would have never been bombarded with cosmic rays, we would never have a Fantastic Four, and their planet would have never ever been. But you know, these prophecies, they usually happen because somebody knows about them and then does stupid stuff to make them happen, and if they had not known in the first place, it probably wouldn't happen.
Ah, the whole future problem.
Yes, exactly.
If I go back in the past, am I actually changing things?
No, you're the reason it's happening.
Damn it.
And we have the conclusion, and I like this storyline a lot. A lot of people might not like the fact that basically he's given us an origin to their origin.
How dare they try to give us more information?
But how do you write something new about a storied bunch of characters that have been around for over 50 years? What do you do? How do you do this? Getting close to 60 years, as a matter of fact. What do you do about that?
You give them metal arms.
Yeah, you know, he didn't give them metal arms, and I really liked it a lot. All I know is this, Johnny Storm is finally settling down, because one of the things that happened in this story arc was he goes there, and a woman comes up to him and says, "So, in our prophecy, it says that you, the one of fire, will be my betrothed." And Johnny's like, we just met, we haven't even had coffee, what? And by the end of the story arc, Johnny's like, "So, are we doing this betrothed thing?"
Oh my gosh, sounds like The Watchmen. When he sits down with the chick.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Hey, so we're going to marry each other for 10 years.
So the Fantastic Four, like they have in the past, might have a new member. This girl's got wings, and she's got Johnny's heart as well.
Hey.
Aww.
Yeah. So those, you know what? I'm so happy with what Dan Slott's doing with the Fantastic Four. Like I said, I haven't read anything about what other people think, but I love it.
Moving on, going to do one little quick thing before we're out of here. Speaking about Marvel characters, including J. Jonah Jameson a little bit earlier, I found on Ranker.com wildly convincing Marvel comic book fan theories.
Oh, really?
Ooh. I am a huge fan of fan theories. I love reading them. I love kind of seeing what people have in their mind. And a couple of them are about Spider-Man.
Okay, well, I love fan theories because they usually go nowhere.
Uncle Ben's not really dead.
Well, I mean, who's making the rice?
Ooh.
I'm still thinking that it's Joe Pesci.
Apparently,
like, somebody is thinking Spider-Man's spidey sense actually draws him to danger.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because everyone knows the spidey sense, it's like, lets him know that danger is imminent. It's like, it's about to happen, so quickly react. But they think that the spidey sense might also be working on a subconscious level, drawing Spider-Man towards the danger it detects so that he can constantly be fighting to keep the city safe. And it would explain why Spidey has an exhausting crime-fighting schedule.
And it would also explain his origin, because he's never, ever really forgiven himself for letting one criminal go by and kill his Uncle Ben. Mm-hmm. And so that makes sense on a subconscious level, that this is never ending, because he'll never be able to bring his Uncle Ben back and never be able to correct that mistake. So he's going to overcorrect for the rest of his life.
And it's interesting that you were talking about J. Jonah Jameson, and now in the comic that he knows who Spider-Man is, but a Reddit user put together a convincing theory that he actually always knew the truth about Spider-Man's identity, and he's been using his newspaper to keep the hero motivated. So secretly, he approves of everything he's doing, he just wants to make sure he keeps fighting the fight.
Well, it's interesting when you see what their relationship is now in the comic. There might be some truth to that. Who knows?
And again, Fantastic Four, another comic you were talking about.
Ah, it's the two guys. Come on, the OGs.
This fan theory says that Franklin Richards caused the sliding of Marvel's timescale.
Well, Franklin is badass. I mean, he's like on the Eternals level, and we're going to be seeing the Eternals soon in movies. Mm-hmm. Franklin Richards, who's the son of Reed and Sue, the kid's is dumb as a stump, which is funny because his sister is brilliant, maybe even more smart than her father. But Franklin doesn't have too much upstairs, but he's also basically a god.
This article saying, have you ever wondered why nobody in the Marvel Universe really seems to age? Interestingly enough, at one point, Marvel characters age in relative real time, like with Peter Parker going through high school and then college before suddenly becoming trapped in his early 20s. In fact, almost all Marvel characters found their ages suddenly stationary after 1968, which just happens to be the first appearance of Franklin Richards, the son of Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman. Coincidence? Perhaps not, but Franklin ended up having an enormously powerful mutant with the reality warping abilities and basically becoming a god, like you said.
What's interesting is that you bring that up because while the Fantastic Four were in their hiatus, they decided to let time pass for reals. And you know, they were always young kids and toddlery and whatever, and the little kids. They're now teenagers. They weren't teenagers before the hiatus, but now Franklin and Val are definitely teenagers. There's a different difference in the way they pretty much subset it. 5 years or 6 years or whatever it's been, they've decided we're going to age the kids. So how interesting is that, that, you know, this comes up and they came back a little older?
Well, I mean, when you're a little kid, you want to be able to, like, stay past your bedtime and drink soda, you know. I'm sure he wanted to be older.
Yeah.
So he did it. It was
yeah,
his
so,
fault.
So it's all his. He's like, it's time to be a teenager. I mean, I want to go out and have my first beer. Come on.
Right. Another theory is that Reed Richards has always been a Skrull.
A Skrull?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I gotta hear this. Okay.
Okay, so for those who don't know, Reed Richards, obviously Mr. Fantastic, he's always had a hard time connecting with fellow humans. And maybe that's because he's not a human at all. And this is from like the big Fantastic Four, the Great American Novel blog that came out. You notice that Richards' facial features seem to be constantly shifting even before he and his team are exposed to cosmic rays and give them their powers. So this could be explained if Reed was actually a Skrull pretending to be a human. The Skrulls are shape-shifting, you know, a shape-shifting race that encountered Fantastic Four earlier in the history. So it's not outlandish to think that a rogue Skrull could have come to Earth even earlier, and it would explain why he has the stretchy abilities and profound intellect.
They don't want to say perhaps maybe it was a bad ink job by the inker on Jack Kirby's
yes,
work.
That's kind of what I was thinking,
yeah,
but I'm like...
they don't want to say that? Okay.
But the fact that he's never really connected with other humans, why he is so intelligent, because a lot of times when it comes to these stories or movies or anything, if you're an alien, you're probably 100 times smarter than we are. more often than not.
Well, it's interesting because there was a Super Skrull that fought this, and the first time we ever saw the Skrulls, I believe, was Fantastic Four,
mm-hmm.
and they never looked like they were buddies. I'll just say that, but I don't know.
Another one which would explain so much. All mutants have resurrection powers. Everyone in the X-Men universe has died at least once.
Oh, yeah.
They always come back. Don't even get me started on Jean Grey and Phoenix.
Reset.
But apparently, this theory is that all mutants secretly have an ability to die, but then resurrect themselves with impunity.
Well, that makes Wolverine's restorative powers a lot less.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, at that point, it's like, wow, great. I actually get to feel the pain, and I have to wait till I wake up. And you people don't feel any of the pain, and you wake up. This is BS. Wolverine got robbed.
He's complicated, dude. He's not, 100% clean.
Listen, Bub, don't call me complicated. I can go to the bathroom as good as anybody.
One last one. Mjolnir is sentient, which is Thor's hammer.
Well, wouldn't it be?
You would think, right?
How would it know that if you're worthy enough, or is there a god of, okay, how's the hammer doing today? I mean, you know what I mean? Someone's got to make that decision.
It's a very stormy day.
Because Odin was the one that kind of whispered that into the hammer, isn't it? Like where, only the, someone who is worthy is Thor.
Here's what he did. Only the Vision, Captain America, and Thor. That's all he ever said.
Right.
People thought it was some sort of ancient thing, but it turns out it was just three names he gave.
And Jane Foster.
Hey, if things light up and you speak into them, that's like a law.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah,
you shall do what I say, Hammer.
Why doesn't it work with my light-up shoes?
Yeah. Right? My bank account. Bank account, you shall grow.
And Jane Foster, I forgot about that. I know it's going to piss people off, how some of those guys are, but Jane's going to get her shot.
Fun fact, before we end up leaving, apparently, according to Vin Diesel, Guardians of the Galaxy are going to show up in the new Thor movie.
I knew it!
Well, it makes
yes.
sense. Of course it does. I mean, we've had them all cross over, and I mean, he's on their ship and,
hanging out.
Who's the captain? Who's not the captain? Of course you're the captain. No, of course you're in charge.
Well, that's what I was saying, because at the end of what, Star-Lord has to go find Gamora out mm-hmm. in space, right? And Thor leaves in the ship as well. That's why I'm like, they're going to obviously meet up.
I still don't know where Gamora went. Where did she go?
She just left. They didn't ever explain it.
They never explained that at all. That is maybe they're going to show us the beginning of the new Thor movie that she gets kidnapped or something. I mean, I don't know why she didn't blink back to where she belongs. I was very confused.
Where is Gamora? Who is Gamora? When is Gamora? Sorry, that is my favorite improvised line of that movie.
It's so tragic because, it's not the same Gamora. It's like pre-Gamora. And, they got to get to know each other again.
We'll see what ends up happening. Well, Joey?
Until next time, stay nerdy.
Woo! Woo! He did it!
Yay! Bye!